Good afternoon, Muskegon. Welcome to your show for news, information, and more. It's time for Torn Into for this October 27th, 2023. Let me get this out of the way. Happy birthday, Big Six. KK, happy birthday. Do me a favor. If you are listening and would like to review this show at another time, you can go to all the shows. Matter of fact, you can go to WUVS LP 103.7 The Beat Facebook site or M106, or say you are by your computer. And if you are by your computer or your phone, you can do just like I am doing right now. I am sharing, going to that site, and I'm going to share this message on my page because we got too much information to talk about. We are, of course, covering the elections that are happening in Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. The debate was yesterday, I believe. And from all results and everything that I've been told, everything went well. So anyway, the absentee ballots are out. Make sure that you vote. Be smart. And since I said be smart, it's time to get the co-host in. Put your hands together for Pastor, the twins. Reverend Burns II, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good, my brother. How you doing?
I was wondering if you was going to make it, but I understand. Okay, all right.
I'm here, brother. I was waiting for that cue when you said be smart. Like, boom, I'm right there.
I get it. You're right there. our guest today is Councilwoman Bonnie McLaughlin. Understand that we have to do a disclaimer that you will not be doing that interview, and why?
Because I currently work for the city of Muskegon Heights as the interim city manager. So to not show any bias, I have not participated in any of the interviews for Muskegon Heights mayoral or council candidates.
It's only fair. It's only right. That's how we do things around here. I got to go to the board already. Speaking of running for Muskegon, Jeanette Burt Moore. Hello, Greg. How are you? I am fine. All right. So listen, brother, will you give us the weather report before we talk about some two things that I got to spring on you?
Well, there won't be any 70s, but hey, today, 50% chance of rain. I think we've had some sprinkles, high of 63. Saturday and Sunday, going to be cloudy and overcast. It's October. High Saturday of 51. High Sunday of 49. Going into Monday, it'll be a little breezy, only a high of 42. Tuesday, chance of rain again, about 40% chance of rain, and again, a high of only 40 degrees. So temperatures dropping to the normal fall weather. Keep a jacket handy for the breezy and wet fall days.
Yeah, for those football games that are coming up.
Yes.
I think it's, let me say this again, that you can catch these shows. And if you need to review, now we sent out invitations in to all the candidates out there. And the ones that responded were put on. If they didn't respond, you didn't see them. Unless they respond in the next hour or so, then we'll be done with that. We haven't talked about how we're going to do a cover politics on election day, but there will be some kind of coverage and we'll get to that point. Brother, I got to spring two things on you.
Okay.
And, here it is. We find ourselves in Maine, another shooting, senseless shooting. Of I don't know what the count is. It was at 19.
Mm-hmm.
chefs. But I want to propose this question to you and propose this question to Muskegon. Isn't it much more than about man? Now, I believe in the Constitution. I believe in your rights, your Second Amendment rights. But with the mass shooting that happened in Maine, in our heart, and our prayers go out to people that are lost or currently in the hospital, all the people all the way around. But isn't it much more deeper? Because here again is another school shooting. Last week we talked about getting some help, but isn't it much more than not only the school shooting that right now somebody is buying a gun and right now somebody's using a gun? And at some point, we can't accept the answer only that is a mental health issue. If we can send a man to the moon and send a rocket to Mars, if we can send bullets and stuff to Ukraine and soon to be Israel, can we take some money and straighten out this problem? Pastor Burns.
Brother, here we are. Here we are once again.
Again.
And I think we're in a place we find ourselves because this is me. I believe this interpretation of everybody got an absolute right to gun no matter what, with no prerequisites, I think this is where we find ourselves, and any kind of gun to almost. At some point, we have to do something different. And I don't know how many shootings it'll take. I don't know how many killings it'll take before we say, maybe we ought to do something different. You know, I don't want to bring out the pro or anti Second Amendment folks, but we keep seeing these shootings and we're not doing anything different.
I don't think that's the answer.
Yeah. You don't hear any groups sitting down together and say, okay, what? Even though we don't agree, what can we come up with that we think could help prevent us in the future? Again, like most of our country, let's just take an extreme position and yell at the other folks.
And the add to that is that right now somebody is being shot just in a act of violence somewhere. It's not a big shooting, but it's a shooting just the same.
Yeah.
And we find ourselves another show again talking about guns and talking about we're not going to use the name unlike the news and stuff like that, because then you have to deal with there's somebody in a basement or someone thinking I'm going to shoot more people, mm-hmm. or I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to do something to take care of my problem with that I'm having with somebody. We got to do something, people. It can't be the answer that we just sit on our hands.
Well, there's an article, I think a couple of weeks ago, they were saying Maine was named the safest state in the country to live.
But what is it?
That Maine was considered named the safest state in the country. That just got blown out the way.
Yeah, that just got blown out of the water.
You know, again, irony, in one day, you know, they have more homicides than us in the last 2 years in Muskegon County. You know, just, but it's, man, it's just schools, grocery stores. This was a bowling alley, motels. You know, the only consistency is somebody who shouldn't have a gun has a gun, and they have a lot of firepower. I mean, that's the only, you know, it's, you can't nail it down to a race or a sex or a religious belief or even a political belief. It's just that we need to sit down and figure out what we're going to do about guns.
And with this issue, with this particular individual, there was history of mental illness. Yeah. But yet, he was a very trained individual.
When you make a threat, I feel like killing people or shooting something up, boom. We don't need to hear it but one time.
Exactly.
If you took, hey, I feel like coming shooting up 103.7. I don't need to hear that once. I don't have to wait for a second threat.
Actually, when I hear that, I feel like shooting out 1-0. That's when I'm dialing 911.
Right. You know,
I ain't even going to get to the three.
Yeah. But, you know, how many times have we heard when people made these threats more than once? You know, you only get, you know, if you're going to be a gun owner, you only get one strike. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
can't wait again, if you meant it.
Yep. Again, so we find ourselves covering this and our hearts and prayers going out. The second issue, since we're speaking about can't get nothing done.
Gee, I wonder where we're going with this one.
I wonder where we're going with that one. You guessed it. Congress on the 25th elected Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana to be the Speaker of the House after 3 weeks. And this goes against the Constitution of, I mean, the amendment, the 25th Amendment that goes to session. The president, the vice president, the Speaker of the House. Yeah. So if something happens, we need to be in compliance of that amendment because you never know what can happen. Congress took 3 weeks to enact something, and look what happened during the time that they were playing. I have a picture on my Facebook site, and it's just a bunch of different clowns sitting in those seats in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. And not to disrespect clowns, but you guys are acting like idiots. We're sitting up with crisis like the shootings. We're sitting up with crisis with schools, and we got potential wars. We have potential, you name the issue. We have people that are starving. We have people that are homeless. We have people, and we're supposed to be one of the richest countries in the entire world, but we are borrowing money like it's no tomorrow and giving that money away to other people. Somebody please tell me what's wrong with this picture. Pastor Burns.
You know, it seemed to me, you know, and I'm not privy to the discussions, is they just kept going until they found a guy who pretty much not anybody knew well and hadn't ticked anybody off. And so his name came up and was like, hey, I don't know him very well, but I'm not mad at him. So,
This guy that they picked is a real interesting pick because he voted, he was one to vote to overchange the election.
All right.
He's a real interesting person.
It's going to be very inexperienced in the House. You got to put, you know, on the whatever, the mega side or that side. Yeah, he was a constitutional lawyer. He pushed this whole thing about, I'm reading articles. I guess he pushed the whole thing about not certifying the election. He wasn't one of the election fraud people. He didn't follow that course, but the election didn't have to be certified, which, you know, just about every court and every constitutional scholar has pretty much said, no, it doesn't matter.
Was that 60 out of 61 or 61 out of 62? I think it was court cases.
Somewhere.
Either way.
It was one to have 60 something.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. That's what I said. We'll see how he does. Again, here's the concern. I don't care who he is. They got to change that rule that allows them to bring that vote in their confidence. I mean, the day McCarthy agreed to that, your days are numbered.
That was the day that he made it his fate, a deal with the devil, because if one person that could bring up that rule, let's see. I don't think that he conceded, the new speaker conceded to that same rule, because we can have this same mess. But yeah. Congress needs to continue to work. And people, we bring, here we go again, another show talking about Congress not getting work done, or when they should be getting work done, they're away on vacation when they're being paid their salaries by us, and how many millionaires are in Congress because of yours truly, people. And here we go again. We're talking about another time, wasting breath that we'll never get back. Talk about issues that are affecting us when we should be saying no to these issues.
Yeah. Again, it's yelling another here we go again. And they said, we don't know what we're going to get out of this speaker, but I reckon it's coming. We're about, what, 2 weeks away from having to have another budget deal?
And so, all right. And with him, the first bill that he said he would bring up is sending dollars to Israel. But he has already said that he is sending money to Ukraine.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting. Plus, like you said, here we go again. And why do we go through this? Another waste of time. We know that the budget, we know that we have to take care of government. These government shutdowns are a waste of time and a waste of our tax dollars.
Yeah.
But again, here's another time for us talking about these situations.
Yeah, and I hate to even call them shutdowns because they're managed shutdowns. I always say, let's shut it down completely. Let everybody feel it. You know, because you shut it down for real, it won't last very long, or some folks won't be returning. Well, you know, they make people work if they don't get paid, which is, you know, absurd. But we're going to find out something real soon here, because there are some folks who are determined, no matter what, they don't want to pass a budget.
What's the answer? What do you think the answer is? Is because we doing election coverage since the radio station went on, and we talk to people over and over trying to get people to vote, and they go, "Their vote don't count. Why should I vote?" And then these kind of things happen, and still we have people making those statements. You have any answers?
Brother, we say it, we teach it. You know, we get the politicians we deserve. You know, less than half the people in this country vote elect a president. Or in your district, I imagine less than half the people who are voting age elect who serve. So until, you know, I don't know what makes people decide to invest in their own self-interest. I know this. Michigan has made it. You can show up the day of the election and still vote. So I think most in our state, most of the excuses to not vote are really gone, to be honest. They got hours. I just think most of those barriers in our state. Now, some states are actively trying to prevent people from voting. In our state, voting pretty much is pretty open where you can do that. But I don't know how we get people to, you know, I don't believe we should force people, but how we get people to invest in our own self-interest. I don't pretend to always have the ideas, the answer to that.
Well, and shame on those people gerrymandering and all the stuff and that people have been doing. And to the surprise, the Supreme Court has been ruling in the favor, saying that these states that are wrong for doing the stuff of trying to eliminate people's chance to vote. And so we say shame on them. We'll be doing some election coverage again. We don't know how that's gonna look. We'll make that announcement. On a good note, because I know you're gonna leave here in a second, congratulations and thank you with the pitch for the statue.
Oh, man. You know, I played a small part in trying to keep that momentum going to get that done. But, man, what an awesome addition to our community. I've heard overwhelmingly positive about it. If you get a chance, post it. There's going to be a time lapse, about 6 minutes of the 2.5 hours it took to set it up. It's really cool to watch. But, man, what a great Friday. This is my shameless plug, but man, there's so many positive things taking place in the city, man. We couldn't get it all in because it was cold out there Friday, but I was glad to be a part of it. Exciting. When you come to the city now, there's a thing where you just say, people say, you got to go see this. And right. That's cool about it to me.
Would you explain to people, because I did get this question. They said, now, was this paid for by school, by the school? Was it paid for by the city? How was it paid for?
It was the entire project was funded with private donations.
Hello, Muskegon. Say that again. I couldn't hear you, what you just said.
The project was funded with private donations, people who wanted to support Art Muskegon. And Ms. Hayner said, they're supporting Art Muskegon. They want to do a project in Muskegon Heights. And when they heard this theme, banding together, and the idea of what the bandsmen are bringing the community together, people jumped on board. Over $200,000.
Right. Now, the same group, like you said, Muskegon, they want to do art and bring art to not only Muskegon Heights, but Muskegon and all of Muskegon.
Yes.
Not just the west side, but all over. And I was talking to the mayor, is that they're pushing and talking to these people that would like to bring such art and such statues and such glamour to all people, so people can be proud of the area. And I'll tell you, I was looking at that drum major, man. I was going like, that's awesome.
You know, brought back memory. I was never in the band, but brought back memories of Kevin Cummings and we called him Don Don when I was growing up. But those drum majors come stepping out on the field, you know, and we got to come out at halftime and catch the band on the field or see them out there practice on Thursday night. But man, it was brought back a lot of memories. The crowd was amazing. You saw people covering a lot of eras. Of course, everybody knows Mr. Moore. They say, even if you went with the Heights, you knew Mr. Moore, you know?
Right.
And so that was just, it was just a wonderful time. It was a good day. It was just a good day. You had that energy in the atmosphere there. And I think, again, people have just, I had seen the markup of it. And we didn't say too much. Well, we saw it in there. We saw, you know, the clay market, which kept saying people are going to be blown away when they see it.
And that was a great amount of dignitaries that were there to support it in a rainy, kind of cold day.
Yes, it was. We had an amazing turnout. And I'll tell you one of the coolest things, and we'll go on, is the sculptor, young man from Reese Puffer, really nice young man, Ari Norris. And I heard him talk about the sculpture, but he said something Friday. He said, you know, he was a young kid, I think he said 10 or 12, and he saw a statue of Richard Hunt downtown at the Frauenthal, outside the Frauenthal, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he said he had a chance to meet Mr. Hunt, whom the sculpture was dedicated to. Mm-hmm. And he said he knew at that point that's what he wanted to do, become an artist and a sculptor. And he said, I hope this inspires somebody else. And I just thought, Ben, you know, what a powerful statement, whether it inspires you to want to be in the band or be a drum major or create art. But the idea, you know, this, all those things that we think art's supposed to do, he just kind of summed it up. So I hope that inspires us to be a community, to be able to disagree and agree, to realize how important band is. We've been talking about that the last few weeks, how important band is. Mm-hmm. There are so many band members and former drum majors there. I so hope it does all those things and inspires us as a community.
You brought up something. I remember as a kid, it was Wednesday nights, you know, going up as a little kid, going to Muskegon High School. You said Thursday night from Muskegon High School. I mean, Muskegon Heights. Going up to that, peeking through that fence and trying to get a glimpse of what the band was doing.
Yep.
Of course, then Mr. Lawrence used to use the mic system. And so you could hear what he was saying for 80 blocks. But anyway, I wanted to say congratulations to you guys. This, and if you should get a chance to go see it,
yes,
because it is going to be something, a legacy for years to come.
Yes, that's a Rowan Park in Muskegon Heights, the corner of Broadway and Baker. If you make it to the corner, trust me, you'll be able to find it. It's lit up at night and just a beautiful piece of artwork.
Beautiful at night.
Yes. Yeah. And you know something? Over the last week, man, I stopped, you know, because, you know, I stopped there a few times. I've never stopped there and been there more than 2 or 3 minutes when somebody else didn't pull up, stop in their car and look, or get out and take a picture and look at it. Hadn't failed. And I've been there half a dozen times.
Fantastic. Yes. Okay, my brother, before we go to commercial break at the end of the hour, bring on Councilwoman Bonnie McGovern. Anything that you want to say, last word, did you want to get in?
Hey, if you're in Muskegon Heights, Saturday, 12 to 2 with City Heart Ministries, 2640 Peck Street, like a lot of folks around town, let your kids come and get some of this candy, and they can be gone by 2, and you're responsible for how much energy they have after that, but have a little event at our church, the trunk or treat. They do a little Christmas story, I mean, a little pumpkin story that relates to Christ. Hope that if the kids are around, there's other event, City Hall, Monday, fire department's having their scary walkthrough fire department. And then Tuesday, I think one of the councilmen's having something at Rowan Park. So just a couple of events in Muskegon Heights where kids can get out and get that candy.
All right. All right. I will see you next week. And listen, you go out and have a good week, my friend.
All right, brother. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. Take care. That was Pastor Melvin C. Burns. I really appreciate what he does. We are going to be going to commercial break and then come back with Councilwoman Bonnie McLaughlin. Actually an icon, because I've known Bonnie for years, we're happy to have her on to get a chance to talk to her like we have had a chance to talk to the other people running in other races. So we're going to go to commercial break. We'll see you at the bottom of the hour, going to the end of the show with Councilwoman Bonnie McLaughlin on 103.7 The Beat and M106. See you in a second.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 Black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically Black and proud media, from podcasts to independent Black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
Welcome back. And hey, that emoji, but if you would like to see other shows that we've done on the past, they have videos, they have radio stations that are like ours. Okay, from gospel to jazz to blues, for information, you can catch it on that app. It's on my phone. It should be on yours. Now, with that said, let's bring in Councilwoman Bonnie McLaughlin. Councilwoman, are you there? Now, we don't have your picture, but we do have you by phone. Are you there?
I am on my computer.
Okay.
So thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much, and do what I can to answer your questions.
Oh, thank you so much for being here.
If you want the camera on, or?
Yeah, if you can get the camera on, that would be great, so people could see that wonderful face. But in the meantime,
I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now? Because it went unmuted. Okay, we're going to work on getting her device straightened out. She has been a council person for years. Let me give you a little bit of her background, and I'll let her. She currently serves as councilwoman on Muskegon Heights City Council and is retired from the state of Michigan. A lifelong and homeowner and taxpayer in the city of Muskegon Heights, a graduate of Muskegon Heights Public Schools and Muskegon Business College. Was employed with the city of Muskegon Heights and in the state of Michigan, and she worked in finance. So let's see if we have her back. Councilwoman, do we have you there?
It looks as though I see him talking, but I can't hear him.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Councilwoman, can you hear me? Okay, we're gonna keep on working that. Lady J, maybe you can walk her through the stages of that. I'll keep reading her bio. Let's see. Like I said, that she worked in finance. I was a member of the city council. My goal is to make the quality of life better for all residents. I listen and keep them informed to the best of my ability. Every vote that I make is in the best interest of the city and its resident, and that's by the council person. Let's try one more time to see if we can get her.
I can get to my email from here.
Hey, Councilwoman, can you hear me? Councilwoman, can you hear me? Okay, so she can't hear me. So that's the way technology goes. Until we get her on, let me talk about the elections that are happening. They're coming up in a couple weeks. People, the absentee ballots have already gone out. A lot of you have already voted. We put ours in the mail a couple days ago. So the voting process has already started. Listen, please, please, people, understand. You not voting, how important it is. And coming on to a next year, an election year, it's going to be the biggest election year ever, deciding, of course, the president. But you got Senate races, House races. We got a lot of stuff coming up. And the most, how can I say that? Okay. We've seen the shooting in Maine, right? We've talked about school books and the equality, the equalness of schools between, let's say, North Muskegon versus the city of Muskegon Heights. We have talked about mental health issues. We've talked about money sent to Ukraine. We have talked about all these things, but it takes you to vote. So I'm going to try one more time. Let's see if we can get her on. Councilwoman, can you hear me? Hello? Councilwoman? No. All right. So the show must go on. And so I think at this point, unless something happens, we got to finish the show. The show must go on. It happens that way with technology. And if we can't get it figured out, she does have another chance to maybe get this thing figured out to be on next week's show. Matter of fact, I tell you what, why don't we give her a call and see and tell her that we'll get her on next week's show and I'll finish out the show this week. I want to talk about something else and go off the political tangent and get off the political soapbox for a while. Today, my wife was watching in a movie, and I was preparing for the show and resting. And she was watching a movie, another movie that I didn't know about. And at the end of the movie, which was a long movie, coming to find out, it was a true story about a famous lawyer that took on a case in a funeral home in the South. Attorney Joe Gray. I never knew about this attorney. I bring that up because why is it, people, that we have to watch movies to find out our histories? And we're in a time in a season where we are trying to erase and get rid of history. I find myself perplexed during this time and season where I have to wait for someone in Hollywood to bring up an issue that should be in school books, where people are trying to right now currently erase things in school book, or people are making statements like slavery was good and should be put in books. When that kind of crap is happening, why is that going on in this country and why are we allowing it? Well, we have a lot of people saying, well, racism doesn't exist. Stop lying. Stop wasting air, because it does. Well, we don't need to teach our kids because our kids feel bad. Hello, you teach your kids so your kids won't make the same mistakes that your great-great-grandparents or grandparents or parent or someone in your family did. How long is enough? Where people are saying all these things that when it comes down, what are you afraid of in teaching correct history? Now people say, well, you know, like in the South, what was wrong with having the statues of General Lee? Name a country in a country that they have statues of the losing opponent. Take those statues. Somebody asked me, should they be taken down? And I said, yes, but put them in the museums. Put them in the museums. Should we be celebrating the statues of the opponents that tried to take this country and divide it in half? No. So I bring this up because, like I said, my wife's watching the movie. I'm listening to it. And then all I knew is that the movie was kind of long, lengthy. But at the end of it, I got the chance to watch the end of the movie. And then I went, this is a true story. And why don't I know about it? It's because we're sitting up letting stuff being taken or not being added in our history books. They would say this thing right now. They say that the people that have the dollars control the history, or they control what's put in the history book. What? You surprised by that? And now you have the people who have the dollars and the people that have decided to run for office to now go on school boards and try to delete stuff out of books, or trying to delete what should be in books or what are read in books or what should be in libraries or things that we had to read. Things like Catcher in Rye and stuff like that. We want to take that out of libraries. We want to take that out of schools, and we don't want our kids to read it. Come on, people. Wake up. I need everybody to just take it and just wipe the wax out of your ears and just wipe your eyes for a second and look at what's going on in this country. And look what's happening in other countries, because other countries are starting to imitate what happens in America. For example, we had an election here where it was claimed that it was false. Those same accusations happened in a couple other countries, not so much to the violence that we had like January 6th, but the same type of rhetoric went on in different countries. People, when are we going to wake up as a group of citizens, of individuals that will say enough is enough? Now, I want to talk to those people that said that the election was rigged. I'm going to go ahead and let me say this right now. Okay. The opinions expressed right now are expressed by Gregory T. Roberts, not necessary to the views of 103.7 The Beat or M106. If you disagree, see me. Let me say this for people. Do you know how hard it is to rig an election with rules and regulations that happen? Now, do I say that it might happen in some little small little town? Yeah. But a presidency, a presidential election, for it to be rigged is virtually impossible. 60 out of 61 or 61 out of 62 courts said No. And if you look at the people that tried to do that are currently now facing jail time or in jail. The people January 6th, people that violated the Capitol, those people, a lot of those people are getting out. But they were told the story that this election was fixed. And let me tell you what, people, you got to listen to these dog whistles. When you hear people say, well, you know, nothing good happens in Detroit, and then bad things happen in Milwaukee, and not good things happen in Chicago or Philadelphia. You know what they're saying? You know what they're saying? Let me say it slowly. Nothing good happens in Detroit. Only bad things happen in Chicago. Milwaukee's no good. Philadelphia the same. They say the same thing about Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. What do we have in common with those several cities that I said? They're blaming it on Black people. They're blaming it on us. So we rigged it? Or now Arizona, they go to Phoenix now. The race was not rigged. Okay, let's make that perfectly clear. And for all the people that say so, think about it. Think about what it would take to rig a dang election. That this person from Muskegon got on the phone to this person in Philadelphia, who got on the phone with this person in Atlanta, Georgia, which got on this person in Wisconsin, which got on this person with Iowa, which got on this person with Arizona, which got on this, and they all planned it with all the machines when each state has different rules about what, and municipalities have rules about what election machines they use, how do they do it, how ballots are counted, all that kind of stuff. But yet this lie is continuing to be spread. And there's one man, and everybody that knows me knows that I'm an independent, straight shooter, vote for the person that will get the job done. I do not hold my tongue back. And we sit up years later, people still believing that damn lie that this election was rigged and taken away from a person. Baloney. And to add to that, and I can say it, I will say it. Back. Okay, I'm back. Yeah. Hold on, Jessica. I think Pastor Burns might be back. Oh, Bonnie McLaughlin. Are you? Oh. Hi, are you there?
I am. I had to go to my phone. I've tried a tablet. I've tried the computer. So now I'm on my phone. So.
I am sorry. So, Councilwoman Bonnie McLaughlin, let's get right in the interview. Thank you so much for being here. Would you?
Thanks for having me.
You're not the first that have had to do that with their phones and stuff. Hey, of course, I've had to do it. Tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised here in Muskegon Heights. I attended Muskegon Heights Public Schools. I've worked, you know, I've just been here all my life, pay taxes, homeowner, you know, and I am also retired at this point. And so I'm sorry, I'm moving things out of the way. So I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky person.
Councilwoman, I've known you for years. Tell us some of the successes, because I have to ask people the same questions. What do you feel that have been some of your successes as a council person in Muskegon Heights?
I've mostly been working within the city, in the community, talking with residents and hearing their problems, what they want. And there's, you know, just doing what I can to make it through and to get to know people. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Now
you and neighborhood groups and so on and so forth.
Now you being out there, what are people saying about their needs and wants for the city of Muskegon Heights?
Their needs is that they want improvement, to see improvement within the city. They want to see businesses. They want to see new homes. They want to see the council get along, for right. one thing. And they just want a good life, mm-hmm. you know, and a good place to live.
What about the people that say that there's a lack of transparency when it comes to Muskegon Heights? Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. There are certain certain things that they want to know that they are not privy to, mm-hmm. such as the finances, what's happening with the money, and why isn't the streets being fixed, which they are working on now, mm-hmm. Or which we're working on now, mm-hmm. and housing in, you know, cleaning up the city.
Uh-huh. Now,
just cleaning up the city.
How, and these are questions that I had to ask everyone.
Okay.
How do we change the thoughts that, now, you know, people in Muskegon Heights, they get up, they go to work, they raise their kids, they come home, they take care of them, repeat cycle on the weekends, go to church, and repeat that cycle. Good people. But how do we change? How do we change that mentality, what people think about Muskegon Heights?
Well, first, we've got to be transparent and let them know what's going on and allow them to be part of some of the decisions and let them know what we're planning on doing and have a voice in it. It's always everything's a secret and they don't know. And with me, there are a lot of things that I find out from the residents that I don't know that is happening at City Hall. So that creates a problem as well, because all council people are, and including the mayor position, they are servants of the citizens of Muskegon Heights, and they really need to be more, put more information out for them to, so that they'll know what's going on as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about earlier that about the city, the infighting. Do you think that there's a problem with the council fighting, or do you think there's a chance to bring harmony to get things done?
I would like to see that happen. Yes, there is some issues because a lot of council don't know exactly what's going on either. So there's not enough information sharing. They want you to vote on, bring something to the table, and then you don't know what it's all about, don't get the information that goes along with it. So how are you to make an intelligent decision? Mm-hmm. Now, I stand by all of my votes, and mm-hmm. that is because if the information is not trickling down to council, where they can make an intelligent, good decision on something, and I'm not getting the answers that I want, then I either vote yes or no. But mm-hmm. whatever, I feel whatever's best for the citizens of the city.
Now, this time you're running for mayor, correct?
I am correct. You are correct. Yes.
Okay, you're running for career. What is the first things that you would like to see done as mayor of Muskegon Heights?
The first thing I want to see done is to get a permanent city manager. Mm-hmm. It's been almost, well, since February. We've been without a full-time city manager, although we do have one, and he's doing the best he can, I think. So that is one thing. And the other, I'm going to look into talking with the Attorney General about getting someone in here to do a forensic audit, because if I become mayor, I don't want all this baggage hanging over my head. I want it all cleared up, and it will take some time because we can't get financial records from the city hall. And so the next thing we need is a financial person, someone that has municipal experience in finances. Otherwise, there's no one there that can train a new person that comes in as to what to do or what the needs are or how to keep the books. Mm-hmm. So those are the three things that I want to do. I think I mentioned three.
Yes, you mentioned that. Now, one of the questions that we ask people is that how Muskegon Heights used to be a thriving city. How do we bring businesses back into the city?
The first thing we've got to do, we've got to clean it up, clean up the city, make it appealable to people from the outside and want to do that. And when you work hard at doing something, that's good. We can bring, we can build houses. The amount of monies that we would get from that revenue-wise is not going to be enough, and it's not going to get us out of debt. So we need the businesses like manufacturing, restaurants, you know, things like that. We need a grocery store. We need a pharmacy. It's a lot of stuff that we need, but we need to get a plan together, a 2-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, and work to develop the city from the bottom up, because otherwise we're just not going to make it.
Does the city charter need to be updated?
It definitely does. And that is one thing, but I didn't mention that because it's going to take time. You got to get a committee and figure out and talk to the city attorneys and find out what's the best way of going about it. That charter is very, very old. And so I read it all the time. Well, I refer to it all the time, but some things you just know, but it doesn't really need to be changed, but it needs to be updated.
Okay.
It's my thoughts on it. Yeah.
We got 3 minutes. Bonnie, what is it finally you want people to know about you? One thing I say, you are normally the top vote getter in every year. So people believe in you. So what are some things that you want people to know about you?
I want them to know that I use my expertise, because I went to school for finances. And I want them to know that I want to try and get our expenditures, monies under control, and that I am a resident of this city. I pay taxes like they do. I'm a homeowner, and I just love the city. So to bring back the quality of life they had would be a minus and a plus, I mean, a plus to me, to see these improvements being done to this city. And, you know, the quality of life is what's the major thing. okay. that I want to do and I care about.
If, because it's time to end this, almost end the show, but if I would like to find out more about you or like to write you that big check for your campaign, how can I do that?
Well, I don't have that information. My right-hand person has all of that information, but you can contact me at 231-343-9313.
Okay, she's giving out her phone number. So
yes.
You have
everybody has it anyway. Most of the city has my cell number. So
listen, Councilwoman Bonnie, I want to get you on the show again. So we'll work out these kinks and we'll get you on again soon.
Yes, I'll know to use my cell phone. And thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
All right, you take care and God bless.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Councilwoman Bonnie McLaughlin. And hey, the technical things happen. We wish all the candidates out there from City of Muskegon to Muskegon Heights, good luck and Godspeed on your election. To the people that are running for the first time, whatever happened, don't give up. We appreciate the fact that all of you are taking part of this government, the process. Listen, this has been another week. This is Gregory T. Roberts, Pastor Burns on the first hour, half hour. This is the show turned into news, information, and more. The only station that does this kind of stuff. Own it, love it, appreciate it. And lastly, go out and sow a seed in somebody's life. Do something well for somebody. You never know who you'll touch. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week on Torn Into.